Welcome to the I Love Running podcast. I'm Stefan.
And I'm Jenna.
From Lungile Health.
Here we are again, back for more for the I Love Running podcast. Good to be back. A lot of info tonight and a lot more stuff to talk about.
Hey everyone, so tonight we're going to just chat a little bit about how to actually improve your running. And one of the things I keep getting asked by runners is, how do I improve my speed? How do I get stronger? And the area of particular concern is actually the hills.
Yeah, I must say, I found when I started running, I did struggle with hills a lot. So I suppose it is quite a good question or valid question. I do see, though, now that I've been running a bit more, I find that training on the hills has helped my running a lot, especially trail running. So, yeah, can you just explain a bit more? Because obviously everyone wants to know a bit more about how to improve on the hills, because that's where most people struggle.
You know, Stefan, when looking at trail running, there are a couple of components to the hills. Obviously, it's the power component up the hills and the strength and the endurance to carry on up the hills. But also, there's the technical side of hills and coming down on the other side. So we're going to draw a little bit of attention to both those aspects of hill running, uphill running versus downhill running.
Yeah, I must say, when I started running more, and especially trail running and actually practicing my running, I found that hills was sort of the one place where I really improved quickly, and that's where I could sort of overtake people and improve. So like on the flats and that, people were sort of similar pace, but then on the hills I could really pass people and I felt more comfortable when everyone else was struggling. So how does the, you know, like the biomechanics work, and what do we need to actually do to improve, especially uphill running, where most people actually struggle?
Stefan, you know, you also bring up a good point where everyone chats about the flats and they say, yeah, I'm fine on the flats, but really struggle up the hills. So looking specifically at the biomechanics, when running up a hill, you're predominantly on the midfoot or forefoot when striking the ground. And so that puts you in a plantar flexion, which means like a pointed toe position, and you weight bearing on that ball of your foot and driving up the hill. So of course the calves play a huge role, and then the quadriceps are the major muscle in hill work. So your knee is slightly flexed, a little bit of a bent position, and you're driving with your quads and your glutes as well. So that's how the biomechanics work up the hill. Calves working, quads working, glutes working into a full extension.
Just going to quickly just go off topic here, because you did mention a bit about midfoot and forefoot striking. I sort of have my own opinion about all of this stuff and what works for me. And I think there is a lot of, you know, fad stuff around and people making up their own opinion, not necessarily knowing more about it, but can you just explain, like, who should or who does run forefoot, midfoot, heel strike? What is the difference? Like, what does that all mean? Because a lot of people don't actually know what it means, and people throw around your barefoot running, or you must wear a shoe with this kind of heel. So just like a quick explanation.
Yeah, sure, no problem. When you're running, the way that you connect with the ground, so the first phase in which you connect with the ground is either your heel strike or a mid or forefoot strike. So you either land on your heel and then roll onto the ball of your foot, or you land in the mid foot or forefoot area and bounce back up. So that kind of position, that pattern in which you land up running, your natural running pattern, changes from person to person. In general, when you are a beginner or a novice runner, you do land a lot more on the heel, almost like walking, but a faster pace. So one foot on the ground at a time is running. And when you are more advanced in running, often you'll find the faster runners are more forefoot runners. And so the trend is now leaning towards being a more forefoot runner and using more minimalistic shoes and the natural sort of stance or striking pattern is a more 4 foot pattern, landing on the ball of the foot. So generally when someone first starts out running, they land up running on the heel, and we try and progress and promote more 4 foot running. But yes, you're right. The fad or the trend is leaning towards more barefoot running, and we'll definitely do some more podcasts in that area and spend a lot more attention on the difference between barefoot running and conventional shoes and whether it actually is a valid argument.
Yeah, well, I sort of have my own opinion about that, like I said, and I'll probably just open up a can of worms because there's going to be hundreds of people that are going to be like, oh no, you must do barefoot, and the other people are going to be like, oh, you have to wear this kind of shoe or whatever. So yeah, I suppose I'm playing a bit of devil's advocate. Okay, so back on track now. So for the runner that wants to improve their heel running, what do they actually have to do? So if you can give us like maybe some specifics, like a few tips. Do they need to get in the gym more? Do they actually have to run more? What do they have to do? Just give us your views or Jenna's top tips on better running.
Yeah, so when you're trying to improve a specific or a particular part of your running experience, you obviously need to try and do more of that. So definitely trying to do some hill work and include some hill work or some sprints up hills to try and improve your hill experience will definitely benefit you. But I do have some top tips. I've got a couple of things that you can do away from the road or the trail to improve your running, and I'll give you some insight on exactly which exercises I think are the most effective and sort of less time consuming and will put your efforts in the right place so that you're not wasting time in the gym or wasting time at home. So I'll give you a couple of those, and then I'll put it up also on the website or a little PDF that you could actually download and maybe take with you into the gym. I think that'll benefit quite a few people.
If a runner, let's say someone is running, okay, like 10Ks, and they want to say they do the odd 21K, and they do find that they are struggling up the hill. What would you suggest? Would you suggest that they incorporate the hill running into their actual runs at the moment? So let's say if they are running 10Ks as training runs or 5Ks as training runs, would you say they should specifically look at hill training like hill sprints, or should they just incorporate hills into their normal runs and just practice that? Or what do you reckon they should do?
I think you need to break it down a little bit. Obviously, one run a week will need to incorporate a monster hill. It can also be your base run where you can actually compare each week. So you do a particular run and then you see how you feel on that run. So you use one run for that, and that can be your standard, almost like a test run. And then you need to include a definite day in which you concentrate on hills and you do a couple of sprints or sets up the hills. And that I would include at least once a week, doing some hill work. You pick a monster hill, you do it with a friend or two, and you do some sprints or some sets on the hills. And I would do anything from 5 to 10 repetitions of that particular hill, and you give yourself enough time to recover between the sets to actually find an improvement. So basically with any type of exercise in which you're trying to get some gains, like strength gains or endurance gains, you need to incur a stress, and you need to have an adaptation that takes place. So you really need to challenge yourself to a point in which you either have to adapt or give up. So I think that doing a hill session is the perfect way to induce that adaptation. So you'll do 5 sets of a monster hill, and then you carry on with your run and cool down and stretch afterwards. But if you're unable to include that hill sprint, then plyometrics is your next bet. And I definitely would include a plyometrics training session if you're wanting to improve your hills. And we'll speak a little bit more on what plyometrics is. I don't know if you know or understand the concept of plyometrics.
I sort of have the basic idea. I mean, we did when I played rugby at school. I mean, everyone talked about plyometrics. It was the fad back then. But it's basically explosive kind of training. a very specific, almost sport specific, and you want to try and, you know, target a specific skill or like explosive power to get the maximum gains. I don't know if I'm making any sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, definitely. It's a very dynamic form of exercise. And the reason why plyometrics form such a big part of improving your hill running is that when you look at, and we're going back to the biomechanics of hill running, but when you look at what you're doing while climbing a hill, you essentially, you're bounding one leg at a time up that hill. So you're jumping up that hill over and over again, just alternating your legs. And what plyometrics is, if you look at that exercise, is a dynamic or burst of energy. So a box jump, for example, you're standing in front of a box, both legs, you bend your knees and you propel yourself upwards and onto the box. And that's what we're doing when we're running up a hill. You bounding one leg at a time, jumping up the hill. So plyometrics, you're taking that component of a hill and you're repeating it over and over again in a repetition format and doing several sets of that. So bounding on one leg up onto a box, repeating it 10 to 15 times, alternating to the other leg, repeating it 10 to 15 times, and then doing 2 to 3 sets of those inevitably will improve the strength so that you can bound several times up the hill.
Right, yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you to also incorporate that one run a week where it is pretty standardized. I must say that for me, really sort of puts into perspective where you are, like if with your fitness or if you're improving, because, I mean, obviously you know what's coming, so that does, again, help in a sense because you can mentally prepare. But it does show you, like, okay, my heels really are improving. I'm feeling strong here today, and it does help you to gauge where you are and where you need to actually, you know, focus on. So, I mean, for myself, every Thursday, I know it's a standard run, quite a hill run in Durban North with Regents Harriers. And I know, like, if I'm not feeling good, then I need to focus on my hills, and, you know, like, or whatever I need to do after that run. I can sort of know, okay, where I'm falling short.
Definitely making something measurable helps you to actually see if there are improvements. So if you do not have access to doing a one rep max strength test, or doing a 12 minute motion test, or doing a bleep test, or some sort of standard measure, you won't know if you're improving. So that's why I use the same route or standard run once a week, so that you can actually then see objectively, is my time improved, and or do I feel stronger on the run, and was it a more enjoyable experience? Then you know for sure, yeah, look, I'm improving, I'm seeing gains in some way. To be able to isolate and measure something by doing a one rep max test, or how many squats can you do in a minute, is an even better way to actually measure and see. But we don't all have access to those kind of assessments. But if you do want some information, give me a ring. I can give you some clues on how to actually conduct your own home tests for strength. Otherwise, alternatively, just see how many lunges you can do in a minute on one leg, see how many lunges you can do on the other leg, or how many kilograms you can squat, that kind of thing.
So like a biokineticist can obviously help you with that. If you want to sort of specifically see, do one of those tests, they can definitely help you with that.
Yeah, they definitely can, but it might not necessarily be, you know, a necessity. But by doing that standardized run, you can see for yourself, and just, you know, keeping a diary or a logbook of some sorts and seeing how you feel or what times you do will definitely help you in order to track your progress.
And of course, I'm sure parkrun could also fit into that picture. Not all the parkruns are, I mean, they're coming up all around South Africa, but like the one that we do at North Beach, quite flat, so you can see if your pace is improving. But if you're going to do the parkrun in East London with Bob Norris, I mean, that's quite a hectic one through the forest, so I suppose very different. So you just need to maybe pick the same parkrun as you're testing, or do you think you must get your own routes? I suppose it's quite fun and social with the parkrun.
Yeah, parkrun's fun. I think you're just trying to punt parkrun here a little bit, but I'm all game for that. I think that the Regents run you were speaking about on a Thursday is particularly hilly, and that's quite a nice one to do. So if you would like to try and join Stefan on a Regents run, Thursday is infamously difficult, and I think it could be a nice standard to set your goals on and actually try and see if you can improve. But getting back to how to some practical tips on how to improve your hill running, I'd like to speak a little bit more about plyometrics. A couple of the exercises that I like to prescribe to clients would be the box jumping. So what I want you to try and do when you get an opportunity to do that training program in the gym is to find one of the plyometrics boxes, or even to use, you know, that circuit step that they have, Stefan, when they do the circuit with the lights in the middle of the floor. You stand at the base of that and you start jumping on a lower level. You jump with two legs, jump up, down, up, down, up, down. And then as you get better and more confident, you move to the side of the circuit steps, and you're going to use both legs to jump up onto the circuit step and back down. Down again, up onto the circuit step, and you can use the lights as well as a nice guide, make it a little bit cardiovascular in nature, jumping and bounding up with both legs, and then you're going to obviously progress, because when you use a single leg, you're doubling the amount of effort required to do the jump, and so you can do some single leg box jumps. So that's box jumping. Obviously, it does take quite a bit of confidence, and the more difficult the jump, the more time needed to mentally prepare for it, because it can be quite a daunting experience jumping up onto a block. You know, you could trip or hurt or fall and hurt yourself. So I would do it with caution and with a lot of concentration, please. So that's box jumping. And then other examples would be a dynamic lunge. Do you know, Stefan, what a dynamic lunge is?
Yeah, I must say a dynamic lunge is a good exercise. So it's obviously not a stationary lunge. You're actually performing the movement with it. So it does make it a little bit more tricky, and you can add weights to it, obviously. So you can progress. Like with all of this stuff, you obviously can progress everything.
So a stationary lunge is when you stand with one foot in front of the other. Generally, it's so that when you bend your knees, you have a 90 degree knee bend in the front leg as well as a 90 degree knee bend in the back leg. So if I was to look at the way that you lunge, I don't want to see as deep knee flexion in the front leg and hardly any knee flexion in the back leg. You need to have knee flexion or bending of the knees in both legs equally. So that's a stationary lunge, when you're standing with your feet one foot in front of the other and you're bending both knees and your body's nice and upright. But a dynamic lunge is when you go into a static lunge and then you actively bounce up and swap legs mid-air and land on the other leg in front with a 90 degree bend in both legs, and then not a moment too soon you will bound up again and land with the other leg in front. So essentially you're jumping from a lunge position with one leg in front to a lunge position with the absolute opposite leg in front, and you can going to continue that for at least 10 repetitions. 10 to 30 would be advisable, and it won't take too long before you feel the burn in the thighs.
Oh, 100%. I know with that one. I mean, you say 10, it's more like 2 when it starts to burn. So I'll definitely try that out. That's a really good exercise. I actually love that exercise, but also hate it at the same time. So you say box jumps, split lunges or dynamic lunges. These are obviously all focusing on quite large muscle groups, which is also the whole basis behind plyometrics. And then which other exercises do you think are pretty decent to do?
Well, I don't know if you've ever been to a sports field recently and taken note of those big concrete steps on which the spectators land up sitting.
Yeah, where the Oaks drink beer.
At Crusaders, maybe, judging on a Monday morning with all the beer bottles lying around and the debris that we find on the field. Yeah, so those steps, those concrete steps, are a phenomenal way to improve your hill work, because as I've said before, you essentially you're bounding up imaginary steps, or in some cases you have the wooden rails, and they are that that does actually look like steps while you're jumping up Burman Bush. So I'd definitely advocate going to a sports club or an area where there's some nice steps and running up the steps. Then again, you are doing a plyometric movement in which you're jumping from step to step, and doing a couple of sets of those will drastically improve the strength while going up Burman Bush, Virginia Bush, or the likes.
Okay, so I'm just going to sort of try and tie it back into our runners. Let's say if you are running 5Ks and you're running twice a week and you want to improve your running, would you recommend just incorporating that hill run into your two sessions a week, and then also maybe adding gym? And then say, let's say you're doing 3 runs a week, would you say you should specifically do 1 hill run? Let's say if you are doing 21Ks regularly, would you do something different? And then like 42Ks, obviously you would need to sort of incorporate speed work and all of that stuff on separate days. You'd really need to focus on different things. I know it's quite a lot to ask, but can you just give us like a brief breakdown of, you know, more or less what each category of runner should do to improve to the next level?
Yeah, I think that generally the recipe for the person's training regime will remain pretty much the same, but the actual quantity or speed at which they're doing that will change with respect to 5, 10 or 21Ks. So you're wanting to have at least 1 hill run in your session or in your sessions for the week, and you're wanting to work on speed work as well, but the amount of time spent might change, or at least the pace at which you do it will change with all three of those categories. Then I do want to include a cross-training session, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you can only work on the powerful hills during that cross-training session. And a cross-training session is basically something in which a session in which you spend either at the gym or at home, and you focus a lot on the whole body and not specifically on doing cardiovascular exercises, but more on doing pelvic stability, core, and a bit of power and strength. So I'll at least include one of those sessions in your week, and then the rest of the time you're wanting to focus a lot more on getting up your mileage for your specific event. So I think that pretty much gives you a skeleton of what your sessions should look like. 2 to 3 mileage days, 1 hill session, and then a cross training session. And for more specifics, I definitely look at training programs designed by kineticists who've actually assessed you and seen your strengths and your weaknesses, and are able to give you a little bit more information on the areas that you need to address as a sportsman or sportswoman, and in your particular event.
Okay, now that makes sense, because so the more you basically run, the proportions just sort of change. So if you're running ultras, the proportions just change, but it's essentially the same kind of skeleton. So okay, that makes sense to me. So like if you're running a 5K or a 10K, you still need to do hills, but don't avoid the hills, basically what you're saying, because that's what a lot of people do. They run 5Ks and they never really progress because they just keep doing the same things. They don't add those hills into their program. So really would suggest, you know, just adding that into it and doing that cross training session. Like you said, I mean, it doesn't have to be specifically for running, but just training those large muscle groups, doing that plyometric kind of training. Yeah, so totally makes sense. Alright, so just from my summary, I was lucky to just give your summary about improving your uphill running. Basically, if you want to improve your running, you need to practice your running. So, and specifically the skills that you want to improve. So, if you want to improve your uphill running, you need to incorporate some kind of training to improve the uphill running. So, incorporate that plyometric or that you know, gym session or cross training session, and then also adding the heel training session into your program. It doesn't have to be a massive amount. Every little bit counts, but if you are struggling in that area, you do need to focus on that. That's sort of my summary of it. And like you said, you'll put up that guide. I think you said just a bit of those exercises that can help to improve your leg strength.
Yeah, I'll definitely put up the guide with regards to a gym session or a home session. I think doing a home session in the gym or at home is probably the most accessible for all of us. So I'll keep it to being able to be done in both areas, so home or gym. And then a little bit of information on your hill sprints and how to compose that session. So the warm up, the actual body of the session, doing some sprints and a cool down with a couple of examples of stretches that I think you should do in order to get optimal length of your muscles. But let's draw some attention onto the downhill aspect of hill running. I think that it can be quite technical with the loose shale, sand and different terrain that you get on the trail. But downhill is a very exciting aspect of trail running, and I must say that I get thrilled every time I'm at the top of a hill and I'm moving downward at speed.
Yeah, I mean, downhill running for me is where it's a lot of fun. On the road, obviously, not as much fun as on the trail, but I did find some of these marathons or longer runs that you do downhill on the road, it does hurt or sometimes hurts my knees. I'm sure a lot of people agree with that. So I think also again strengthening and doing the right kind of training is good for that. But trail running was fantastic, going pace down a hill, probably not the cleverest thing in the world. Again, it is quite technical, like you said, and I do find a lot of people are sometimes quite scared to increase their pace, and then they just take it quite slow, where it is one of the places where you can actually pick up some pace and go past people.
I definitely think that people put on the brakes downhill, whether it's for fear of falling or fear of, you know, burning out or whatever it is, but people definitely put on the brakes downhill. I think we should follow a similar format to the uphill and just take a look at the biomechanics of downhill running. When you're running down a hill, essentially how you keep control is that you're using an eccentric or a lengthening type of contraction in those large muscles of the quadriceps. So as you're running downhill, your leg will bend, and you need to try and control the extent to which it bends. And so that is still a contraction, but it's a contraction in which your muscles actually lengthen as opposed to shorten like they do when you're going uphill. And that kind of contraction that the muscles are experiencing when controlling your downhill running is a very aggressive contraction. And it actually requires a lot more force and control, and can produce a lot more damage to the muscles themselves. So eccentric contractions are probably the most effective when trying to improve in strength and also size of muscles. So when you're running downhill, you are being quite brutal on those thigh muscles. And I think when people try and slow themselves down too much on the hills, they actually fatigue those muscles a lot more for when the next hill comes. And I think that's one of the problems I have with controlling your downhill running to the extent to which you're actually slowing yourself down so much more than what you need to. I think there's a fine line between actually letting yourself go down the hill and enjoying it and actually keeping up with the pace of your legs or slowing yourself too much. And I don't know if you actually agree with me on that one.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I've never really tried to slow myself down actively down the hill because, again, like I said earlier, up the hill I found that's where I can make up some time, and also again down the hill that's where I do make up time a lot of the time because I'm not actively trying to slow myself down And I did find when I did slow myself down, I would get, like quite sore after a run. And obviously we will talk about recovery and kinds of things that you can do, like stretching and Pilates at a later stage. But I completely agree. Like I try pretty much burn it down the hill as fast as I can, because I mean obviously to a point, because you don't really get as tired, and I'm not because you are contracting down the hill. So if you are actively trying to slow yourself down, like you say, you're using more of your muscle and fatiguing yourself even more. So I suppose essentially it's not ideal.
Yeah, when I go downhill, I literally let myself go and just I actually use it as a recovery. I often use the downhill to go past my competitors, and I think they look at me when I come flying past and thinking this chick is out of control. Meanwhile, my legs are recovering like a dream, and by the time I get to the bottom, I feel fresh. So because I know the theory behind eccentric contractions and I know what they're all doing to their muscles, I just sort of let mine go and go with the flow. But I wouldn't advise that necessarily for everyone. I think one of the better ways to actually improve your downhill running would be to do some eccentric contractions in the controlled and gym environment. And again, I'll address that specifically. So an eccentric contraction, something that you can do quite easily, would actually be a static lunge. I'd like you to try this at home. So you stand with one leg in front of the other one in a lunge position, and I want you to put all your weight on the back leg and to bend your knees into a lunge position, but you're literally leaning on that back leg, and you'll feel if you tuck your tail, squeeze your bottom and lean on the back leg, the difference in that contraction as to opposed to when you're doing it normally without actually thinking and leaning on that back leg. And you'll feel that there's a huge amount of stress on the back leg, which is being stretched, lengthened and strengthened all at the same time, and that will help improve your eccentric contractions and your control down the hills should you need it. And it will also improve the the extent of the fatigue that you're getting when going downhills. So eccentric training, lengthening and strengthening at the same time, big component of being able to control yourself when going down the hills. That's particularly when you're going down the hills in road running, and in trail running you're wanting to bound from side to side, and also you do need a lot more eccentric control when going down the hills in trail running. And I think the technical aspect of going down the hills and trail running really needs to be addressed. Everyone has their different methods of getting down the hill. I tend to skip. I skip on the same leg the whole time, and I run very lightly down the hills with trail running. Whereas with road running, I'm quite heavy down the hills. I actually just literally fall one leg in front of the other. But on the hills, I'm very light, and I skip, and I put hardly any weight on the one leg, and I find I skip from one side to the other, almost running sideways. There's a lot of lateral movement in my downhill running when I'm doing trail running, and I just move from one edge to the other down the hill, and it's sort of zigzag pattern like a shoelace. Whereas when I'm running on the road, I just go in a straight line all the way down, very little resistance.
So essentially, so the same kind of principles for downhill running as for uphill running to improve. I mean, same kind of thing, large muscle groups that you're going to work, and is it the similar kind of exercise, except you said the static lunge instead of the dynamic lunge, but you can sort of incorporate both of them into your training at the same time?
I think that the dynamic approach to uphill running will both benefit the uphill as well as the downhill running, but the downhill running uses a very different control and type of contraction. Uphill running uses a shortening contraction, and downhill running uses a lengthening contraction. If you're running downhill and you're unable to lengthen your muscles with control, you will essentially collapse into a little heap on the floor. So you have to be able to lengthen your muscles while running downhill with control. And that's why people fatigue and they get muscle failure downhills, because they can't keep the control and the consistency of the control. That's why I need you to do that static lunge leaning on the back foot. And there are a couple of other examples I can give you for eccentric contractions. Another one would be using a machine in the gym called the leg extension machine. And what you need to do there is you lift the leg extension machines. You do an extension straightening both legs at the same time, and then you lower one leg, so all the weight is only on one of your limbs, all the weight of the machine, and you slowly lower that leg, and then you use two legs to lift the weight of the machine again, straightening your knees, and then you lower one leg without any weight on it, and then you slowly lower the other leg. So what you're doing is you're lifting with half the amount of weight distributed on each leg, and then you're lowering one of the legs. So now all of the weight is of the machine is on one leg only, and you're slowly lowering that. So it's almost like a two up, one down method. And it sounds complicated, so give me a ring if you don't understand what I'm talking about with this leg extension machine. But it's very effective in lengthening that muscle and giving you eccentric control. But weight bearing stuff is actually even better than doing the leg extension machine, because when you're running down a hill, you weight bearing your own body weight. So doing it, doing these exercises, these eccentric exercises with your own body weight is far more beneficial, because let's face it, we want to be functional here. So doing a step down off a high step and doing it slowly is another way in which you can strengthen and lengthen at the same time. So yeah, you're right. You need to do gym work, you need to do cross training, and you need to do something other than just running in order to improve up and downhills. But the theory behind what you're doing and why you're doing it definitely changes going up versus going down. It's almost like polar opposites.
All right, awesome. So I think we've given quite a bit of info about how to improve your hill running. I'm sure it'll crop up again pretty soon. And there's a lot that we can still talk about with regards to hill running. Yeah, so if you can just quickly give us a summary, the main couple of points, just, you know, in a minute, for uphill running and downhill running, what are the main things to look at? So, I mean, we did speak about it before, but just quickly, just a quick summary, just to end off, because we are running a bit out of time. But just a summary of what we've spoken about.
Okay, so with uphill running specifically, you want to jump up your hills. You want to practice jumping single leg exercises at home. You can use weight or use your own body weight to practice that straightening of the leg extension, a dynamic exercise which will improve your uphill running, and practice actually running up hills. And then with downhill running, ways to improve running downhill would be more improving the control in which you're running down your hills, the precision of foot placement with regards to trail running. And then with downhill running would be really to avoid fatiguing while running down the hills and doing a lengthening contraction and having control down your hills. So it would be an eccentric contraction.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think there's a lot of info there about hill running and how to improve your running. So, yeah, just give that stuff a try. As like Jenna said, she's going to put that stuff on the website, and that stuff about the nutrition and the carbohydrates is also up there, what we spoke about last week. So go check that out as well. Yeah, just a few announcements at the end. Mweni Marathon this week on the KZN calendar is happening, so a nice trail run, 40Ks, so it is a bit hectic, but if you're keen, I'm sure you probably have entered already. And also the MP Challenge happening on the 18th of May, which should also be a good one, the first time in KZN. And this week, Vongo Park Run is starting, so if you're keen to run with Bruce Fordyce, make sure that you get down to Vongo. You can run with Bruce, little 5K, nothing too serious, nice and social. Otherwise, comrades, guys, start tapering. Don't leave it too late. You want fresh legs for comrades. And yeah, just make sure that, yeah, keep it the same at this stage. You don't want to change anything right before the race. But we'll see you guys otherwise on the trail runs. We do a trail run every Thursday, so Lungile Trails. Otherwise, we'll see you at the races, or next week come back and we'll have some more info for you.